Blog Talk Radio. Invested and to bring back dividends for God, he buried it in the ground, so to speak, of indifference. And he did not anticipate his tragedy, however, because the Lord of those talents came back at an unsuspected time. The danger of it all is that you are given the control and the management of this investment that God has made in you.
Yes.
And that you are left on your own. God doesn't stand around and punch you. That is, literally, he doesn't, to see what you're doing and how you're going to do. He merely lets you know that you are responsible for my investment.
Yes, yes.
And that I'm holding you accountable.
Yes.
And that one day I will be back.
Yes.
And you must report to me.
Yes.
For everything that you've done.
Yes.
And how you have invested what I have given you. And I said the danger of it is you own your own. You own your own. But you know, sometimes some people cannot stand to be on their own. Some people cannot stand responsibility. Some people cannot make good managers, it appears. Some folk are waiting for the first opportunity. As soon as the boss takes his eye off them, they are searching. Hiding. Marking time. But that is dangerous. Because the boss of your life, the giver of your life, the investor that has invested in you, not what you should do, and not what he has made you capable of doing. Pray with me if you please. You're talking about a time clock. He has put one within all of us. He know when you punch in and when you punch out. He know whether you are late or on time. Pray with me, there's no escape. And if you are lying down on the job, if you haven't punched in for the last year or so, if you haven't reported for duty for the last month or so, he know it tonight. You can't escape. He's made an investment in you. It is not left up to you to do what you want to do with it. You've got to one day account for the deeds done in your body. Why, I often say that when I look down on the casket and see those two little startling words, at rest, doesn't always mean that the person that's in there is at rest. It sometimes means
the home that he came out of is at rest. Now that he's gone. Or now that she's gone. Sometimes it means that husband is at rest. Sometimes it means that wife is at rest. Now that they have laid you out. Are you praying with me? Sometimes it means that the church where he was a member is now at rest. Because they kept up so much confusion. Sometimes it means the neighbors or the people with whom they work are now at rest. Now that you're gone. So brothers and sisters, we should all remember that there is one who has an all-seeing eye. And who knows what investment he's made in us. He knows whether or not he left with us one talent or whether or not he left with us two. He knows whether or not he's left with us five. You see what I'm talking about? And he knows exactly what our report should be. That is, if it is a faithful report. Yeah. And I think that all of us, and especially those of you who have wandered away, and who simply think because you're getting by that you've gotten away. Well, remember, you may be getting by, but that doesn't mean you have got away. Pray with me if you please. I've seen people who committed crime and have gotten by for several years. And one day when they feel safe, satisfied, and secure, why, the FBI walk up and tap them on the shoulder and tell them exactly who they are and what they've done and where they did it. There was a man who's gotten by but who didn't get away. And you're talking about an FBI system. Why, my God has the best the world has ever known. He has all kind of agents working for him. Sickness worked for him. And it's sometime one of his detectives. Oh, Lord. And sometime misfortune worked for him. And sometime trouble will arrest us for him. And I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord. Why, sometime, why, experiences about our family life what's on God's side. You may feel because you're getting by, you've gotten away. If you're wasting your life and wasting your time, if you've forsaken God and like a prodigal went away from home into the far country of pleasure and into the far country of revelry, remember, great God, if you don't mind out like Jonah, great God, you know Jonah thought he'd gotten by too, you know, and thought he'd gotten away too. Oh, Lord, but the Lord called his detective to win and then called another one of his officers the cloud and spoke to another one of his agents to see and made that old sea boil like a potter and made the wind roll themselves into a hurricane. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, Lord, my God, great God, whispered to a whale and told him to be a submarine for him and keep up with that ship until he got Jonah convinced. Holy God Almighty, oh, Lord. And eventually Jonah had to come on up. He fought his ticket and then went down below deck. Pray with me if you please. and hid from the crowd and from the passengers and lay down and went to sleep. And trouble arose on the old vessel. Nobody knew what was going on or who was responsible. Nobody knew that Jonah was on board. You know, sometimes the vessels of our lives are rocking because there is a Jonah on board. You may not know who I is or who he is, but all of the shaking and all of the trouble that you are having is because there's a Jonah on board somewhere. Oh, Lord. But the Lord made the wind, the lightning and the thunder. The sea wept for him to bring Jonah out. Oh, Lord, he may be working on you, and you may think you are hid in the hull of life. And the reason why the storms of life are raging around you, God is trying to bring you out of where you belong and where you promised to be. I don't think you know what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord, you ought to do like Jonah. Great God. You know, Jonah cost the ship so much trouble. Yes, he did. They had to throw off supplies into the sea. They had to drown medicine and food that was intended for innocent people in the far country.
There is power in
trying to bring back dividends for God. He buried it in the ground, so to speak, of indifference. And he did not anticipate his tragic end, however, because the Lord of those talents and to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountain. Social and political mountain. Religious mountain. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down here in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. So that he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind. A spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, why being in the spirit? The Lord led him out to the valley. And then led him to the midst of the valley. And sat him down in the midst of it. What he was really saying, that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and Israel's situation in Babylon. That's what he was saying. God took him in a far-going survey, in a far-going analysis and understanding of his little Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he'd miss something, then the Lord led him round and about the valley, or took him and encompassed the valley, circled it on all sides, that he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was thorough and complete, the Lord poured the question to him. And to Israel, there were obstructing mountains surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountain. Social and political mountain. Religious mountain. Encircled and in faith
unto death. God, I will give you a crown of life. He did not say, you understand, be thou faithful until death. And I don't know the reason why, but for some reason we
properly use that verse. And for some reason we somehow misquote that valuable verse in our Bible. My God, because it does not say, be thou faithful until death. My God, but rather it says, be thou faithful unto death. And that is a difference in the word until and the word unto. Oh Lord, and that word until means to the point. But the word unto means beyond the point. Oh Lord, and until means it's limited. But unto means it's beyond all bounds and beyond all limits. Oh Lord, and if I think about this church, and how about the Franklin bought this church from a mighty long way. Oh Lord, yeah, ever this show, but there were too many until members instead of unto members. Oh Lord, and Reverend Franklin, I'm with you until I disagree with you. Oh Lord, and Dr. Franklin, I'm with you until you hurt my feelings. Oh Lord, and I'm with you until you don't call my name. And that's why I'm glad the writer did not say, be faithful until. But then I hear him saying, be faithful unto death. Oh Lord, and the road may be rough, the going may be tough, but I hear him saying, don't be faithful until bad things happen, but be faithful unto death. Yes, that means don't be faithful until death comes. But then, though it may cause my death, well, I must be faithful. Oh, yes. So I am saying, be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee then a crown of life. Oh, yes. And I'm going to close there. And I tell you just one more thing. Well, it is said that back during the days of the Civil War, when the North and the South were at war one with another. And you know how our forefathers yearned and burned and prayed to be free. And after a while, many of them learned that the Union Army was on their way. And the old man that was on his plantation that was black born in slavery, when he heard the Union Army was coming, he got his stick and got him some rock and started down to the battlefield. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, John, where are you going with stones and sticks? I heard him saying, I'm going down to the battlefield and help the Union Army win this battle. But then, some way and somehow, yeah, John was shot down on that battlefield. And one of his friends walked up to him and held him in his arms. And I heard him saying, if my relatives ask you how I died, and if my friends should ask you how I died, well, tell them I died on the field. Oh, yeah. You see, the Lord does not want to rust out, but God wants us to wear out. Oh, yeah. Dr. Franklin, you know, was still on the field. Yeah. I'm going to let you know here now, but I hear somebody saying, well, doctor, you told us about a good soldier. I heard you say that a good soldier obeys orders. I heard you say that a good soldier learned how to put on his uniform and how to use his weapons. I heard you say that a good soldier is self-sacrificing. But doctor, tell me, is there anything else you got to say about a good soldier? Oh, Lord, I'm only going to tell you, yes, just one more thing I got to tell you. Did you hear what I'm saying? Just one more thing I got to tell you. Yeah, a good soldier stays on the field until he receives orders to come on home. Did you hear what I'm saying? He may be wounded on the battlefield. Before he's wounded, he's got to stay there.
Faith unto death.
God, I will give you a crown of life. Unto death. God, I will give you a crown of life. He did not say, you understand, be thou faithful until death. And I don't know the reason why, but for some reason we falsely use that verse. And for some reason we somehow misquote that valuable verse in our Bible. My God, because it does not say, be thou faithful until death. My God, but rather it says, be thou faithful unto death. And there is a difference in the word until and the word unto. Oh Lord, and that word until means to the point. But the word unto means beyond the point. Oh Lord, and until means it's limited. But unto means it's beyond all bounds and beyond all limits. Oh Lord, and if I think about this church, and how about the Franklin bought this church from a mighty long way. Oh Lord, yeah, ever this show, that there were too many until members instead of unto members.
Share. Life's ups and downs. God's been good to me. And the downs have been few.
Thank you. Bodies are all stripped clean of body armor and weapons. Bodies stacked up in that little shop across the street from the hotel. Looks to me like it was a real intense post-quarter battle. Then we hit it at the hotel. They had the congressman thrown up there like a damn worm on a hook. We took the bait. And what? Fresh meat, really.
Good.
How in the hell does a non-military observer like the congressman get authorization to go on some sightseeing tour on a bomb? They fall into a damn hole so perfectly laid out that not even one of the two members of the person's crew you get survive? Radios for help? It's not right, sir.
I don't have a good answer for you, certainly.
But what about the congressman? Why was she spared? The hell knows. Maybe they were planning to stage some internet extravaganza with praying for something they want. Hell, they only had you for a day. Maybe you didn't have any plan at all. Maybe. Horace, sure, look. Horace Chandler, antidotes, what are you talking about going back into Monobot today? Negative.
Why, those are my myths, sir.
Because I'm short of people and ammunition. Here's the other one. Renegade got hit hard last night, and they're still under pressure. All available air assets have been committed to that fight. In the meantime, I can hear a major Taliban force headed in our direction. If that's the case, I don't have the people, and I don't have the ammo to stage an effective defense. So I am not authorizing anything outside the wire to resupply and reinforce. That's
all right. When do we go?
What?
Gross is the week.
But Jay, that's...
I know. That's reasons. I'm sure I'm on it.
You do?
Last question. Where's the move?
Hey, I'm awake. Give me a shot of this. Wait. This is best. Sorry, I'm not talking to guys. Yeah, there we are. Compared to them, I'm looking. I don't want you to have this. Maybe it'll do some good. I heard just a tinker in the camp. That was faster. Are you destroyed this? Yeah. So, how did you have it? I know you. But I'll take good care of it, all right?
Okay, you're safe. You're safe. Sergeant First Class, you always speak. I was through the rescue from the flood, sir. Thanks, man. Thanks, thanks. Congressman, you, sir, I need to know what happened in my apartment. Sir, was it an ambush or was it something else, sir? Congressman.
You didn't have to get anything out of him because he's been on the hot stuff for a while. Brandon.
What'd you hear him say?
He said a name. Fuck that.
I'm too sick about it.
Ma'am,
two dogs in there. What?
Hey, thought we were friends now. Besides, you're the most interesting bridge I've met so far.
Well, you must not be a bridge of honor.
Call truce. Jimmy can find me happy down, I think. I haven't even gotten to know him yet.
Oh, I think I know you pretty well. Poor little rich girl. Probably went to Harvard, Yale, Princeton.
Not seen anything.
Oh, not seen that. I know you got some heavy hitters in your background. The kind of folks have been pushing along.
You must focus, my son.
Oh, yeah.
You must focus, my son.
Everybody, let's give a big round of applause to the Caravan.
My hand.